Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
As we enter the holiday season of 2011, God's blessings are abundant. It's our prayer that today's program will encourage and warm this season of year for you, especially if you need encouragement. Stay with us with Dr. Paul Chappell as we discover how to worship the Christ of Christmas. You know, in good times and bad, worship is so important to our joy and our stability in the Christian life. And this is truly a season of worship as we enter a time where we focus on God and His goodness, and we focus on what He gave us in the gift of His Son and the presence of Emmanuel. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features Dr. Paul Chappell and his teaching and preaching from the Word of God every Monday through Friday. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College, also in Lancaster. It's a joy to minister God's Word to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope that today's program will be an encouragement and a source of strength through a difficult time in your life or a season where you have some need. We hope to draw your attention to the Christ of Christmas and to what it means to truly worship Him this season. One of the ways we'd like to complement your walk with Christ is through our Daily in the Word website. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find a lot of resources on the website. Some of the most important ones, a link to this program where you can subscribe to the podcast and take this program with you on your iPod or computer. Also, you'll see a link for devotionals. That's a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that you can subscribe to, and we hope that it will encourage you every day with a scripture reading and an encouraging word from Dr. Chappell. Also, a link to our online bookstore as you're preparing for a gift-giving time, and a link to Dr. Chappell's blog where you can keep up with what God is doing in his life in ministry. All of this and more you'll find at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to discover the gifts that we already possess. Whether this broadcast comes to you in a time of abundance or a time of need, there are some blessings in your life that God's already given you. Let's take a listen. Here's Pastor Chappell.
A few days ago, Terry and I received news that our neighbors had entered into a season of difficulty in their lives, and they had heard that their daughter was involved in a car accident, and then shortly after they heard that their daughter had slipped into eternity to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Terry and I have spent some time with them and been praying for them. And it's always sobering when you hear of tragedy in someone's life, and especially around this time of year. A 22-year-old young lady whose life instantly was taken. And as Terry and I spent some time in their home and praying with her parents, we walked out of their front door and back to our home, stunned and thinking about the brevity of life and thinking about how quickly a life can end or be changed. And I suppose in my mind, the contrast was very stark, because this Friday, Lord willing, our 24-year-old daughter will stand on this platform and will be wed to the man that God has brought into her life, and they will begin a life living for the Lord Jesus Christ. The sovereignty of God is an amazing concept, and the ways of God are not always our ways. And so for some time that evening, we pondered the blessings of God that we already have, the gifts that we have right now without wanting one more thing in life. I think tonight we need to take a few moments and just consider the gifts that God has already given to us. Like the young children tonight who have learned that the greatest gift is Jesus and the greatest joy is giving. All of us tonight have need to take a moment and remember the great gifts of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." God's word is very clear that every good gift comes from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And God speaks to us in His word about the principle of contentment, the principle of gratitude for what He has given to us. And as we rush on into this season, and as many young people no doubt are curious about what they might receive for Christmas, I believe every one of us tonight need to pause and just give thanks to the Lord and remember the great gifts that He has already given to us. We were spending some time with our family this afternoon, and we're in this 7-day period now where everything we do with this family of six is the last time with the family of six. And so last night was the last Saturday dinner with the family of six. And Saturday dinner's kind of been our big dinner at our house. And so we sat there having our dinner, and I looked over at Terry, and she had a little tear in her eye. And a minute later, Danielle got up and dismissed herself for a minute and had some tears in her eyes. Then I got tears in my eyes. The only one in the family who's not been horribly affected by this is Matthew. Teenage boys look at it totally differently. His take on all this is, "Hey, I get my own room." And today we spent our last Sunday afternoon just sat in the living room there and just kind of sharing stories and talking and reminiscing about some things. And we were kind of somber and talking about some things that were serious. And then Matthew said somewhat seriously, he said, "Now, Danielle, I have a question." He said, "Now, will I get gifts from you and Peter, or just you and Peter together?" But you know, while we think about giving and receiving, and really that is a wonderful part of this time of year, and it's a great thing that God blesses us. Most of us, if we were honest, He's blessed us beyond measure. But I want to speak to you tonight about what I consider to be the greatest blessings, the greatest gifts that God has ever given to me. First of all, tonight I think about the gift of salvation. I think about the fact that God loved us so much that He would have this unbelievable love gift, the gift of His Son, wrapped in humanity. As we often say, deity wrapped in humanity, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This child that was born in Bethlehem's manger grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, and He lived a perfect life. And then He died on the old rugged cross for our sins. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, if you turn there for just a moment, some very incredible words about what Jesus did when He came to give the gift of salvation. The Bible tells us here that this gift was an atoning gift. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23 these very simple words, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And by the way, if none of us were sinners, none of us would need a Savior. But from God's perspective, because we are a sinful human race, and because we fall short of God's perfection, then the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. But how does He accomplish that? How can we who are fallen be redeemed? How can we who are unjust be declared just? And the Bible answers that question in verse 23 when it says, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice throughout the New Testament that redemption, that is being purchased by the blood of Christ, it is not through a church or a denomination, but redemption is always through a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. As we saw this morning in Acts 4:12, for there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. But notice in Romans 3:25 how the Bible describes this work of redemption. It says, speaking of Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. The word propitiation we have studied before, it means a covering. In fact, it is the same word that was used in the Old Testament for the mercy seat, that piece of the Ark of the Covenant, the covering of the Ark, where the blood was applied on the Day of Atonement for the sins of Israel. Jesus Christ came to be our covering. He shed His blood for the covering of our sin, that we might be declared righteous, verse 25 says, for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so the gift of salvation is an atoning gift. It is that gift whereby we can receive God's atonement for our sin. It is not from a church. It is not through our good works, but it is from Jesus Christ personally. I remember very vividly our first Christmas here for many, many reasons. And I remember the first time we had the Lord's table. It was on a Christmas Eve. I had never administered the Lord's table, and so I was nervous about that to begin with. And I think we had maybe one or two deacons. I can't remember if we even had deacons at that time. Just a couple fellas, though, and passing out the Lord's table to a small group of believers on our first Christmas Eve. And in that downtown building, as we observed that first Lord's table, it was very important to me, as everything I did in the first few years was precedent setting. It was very important to me that I explained clearly what this meant. And I was taking time to explain that having the juice and having the wafer was not the way to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some churches teach that. I was very clear to explain that Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me, and that the cup represented the blood, it did not become the blood, and that the bread represented the body, it did not become the body, and that this was the Lord's table given to His church as a way to remember Him. And I very clearly that night said, if you have never received the Lord by faith as your Savior, and you do not know that your sins have been forgiven, then you should not partake of this, because this is for believers as a way to remember what Jesus did and to commemorate what Jesus did. Well, that night there were a few visitors, and one of them was a man to whom I had witnessed before. Brother Earl Farrar at that time was probably in his mid-50s, and back then that was really old. And Earl had worked in the corrections department, been around a lot of rough guys in the prisons and so forth, and he just kind of had that leather look about him. And when I would preach as a 24, 25-year-old preacher, I just couldn't read him. I couldn't tell if he was happy or sad or agreeing or disagreeing. And I just kept preaching, but he just had kind of a somber look. And that night, after explaining atonement and the gift of salvation, and after asking anyone that didn't have that to not partake of the Lord's table until they received Jesus as their Savior, Earl Farrar came up to me and he grabbed me by the arm and he said, I'm ready. I want to talk to you. And I said, about what? I don't know if he was ready to leave the church, you know, have an argument. His wife was a member of our church already. And that night he said, I understand I need to have Jesus as my Savior. And on Christmas Eve 1986... I was able to lead Brother Earl Farrar to Christ. And this past week, he wrote me a note. And he said, I just want you to know, I was driving on such and so freeway and drove through the area, not far from the area, and thought about you. And he remembered the relationship we have because of Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Farrar and I may not see each other a lot in this world. We may not see each other until eternity. But I thank God that we will see each other in eternity, because of the atoning gift of Jesus Christ. It's an atoning gift, this gift of salvation. It is an available gift, and I'm thankful for that. Listen, I'm thankful tonight that 7 and 8 year old children, when they come to that age of accountability, which is different for different children, but I'm thankful that children, when they come to the knowledge of who they are and who Jesus is, that they can receive Jesus as their Savior. I'm glad that God took the profundity of the gospel and wrapped it in simplicity and put it down on the bottom shelf so that whosoever will may come. It's available. Revelation 22 and verse 16, at the very last portion of Scripture, the last verses of the Bible, God is giving us His heart, and He expresses it by saying, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come freely and take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the books. And of course, we're not to add, we're not to subtract from the Bible. But do you hear those words? Whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad tonight that the gift of salvation is an atoning gift, and I'm glad tonight that it is an available gift for all who will believe. I do not believe tonight that there's a limited number of people who can be saved. I believe whosoever will can come and partake of the water of life freely. We were out yesterday door knocking, or as some would say, passing out leaflets. And as my partner and I were going down the street and just knocking on doors and talking to people about the Lord and about the church, it was amazing to me. It was like hitting the reset button from 20 years ago, going to these homes, young couples, moving up. One couple I spent some time with, the Santa Maria family. You pray that they'll be here next week. And they had just bought their first home, just moved from Ventura County. And you know what? It doesn't take long to realize as a young couple that those brand new homes, kids spill Kool-Aid on the carpet. And they color crayon the walls. And because you commute, the car has to get a new transmission. And after a while, some of that really cool stuff that people were really hoping would mean so much of a difference for them, after a while, it's all stuff that has to get fixed. And there's still an emptiness in the heart. And there's a hole in the heart of every human being that only is filled by Jesus Christ. And I pray that through this Christmas season, the gift of salvation, the gift of atonement that is so readily available will be received by many, perhaps some in this room tonight, because, my friend, God loves you and Jesus died for your sin. And what a great joy that is. The gift of salvation is such a blessing. But I want you to think secondly with me tonight about the gift of security. The gift of God's security. You know, after 21 Christmases here, we have seen folks that have had a lot of different experiences, a lot of family experiences. We've seen sometimes people that wonder if they're loved, wonder about tomorrow. We've seen the real estate boom. We've seen it bust. We've seen aerospace boom and bust. We've seen all kinds of cycles. But we've learned that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And happy is the Christian whose security is found, not in the economy, but in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think about security. This thing of having your sins forgiven, having a covering for your sin, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is a gift that is secured by the Holy Spirit of God. His seal on us is a seal of ownership. If you'd like to turn in your Bible for a moment to Ephesians chapter 1, I'll show you what the Bible says about security of the believer. Ephesians 1:13. This is a security that even some Christians are not well aware of. It's a security that those without Christ know nothing about, but it's something God wants us to experience in our hearts. He doesn't want us to ever wonder about His love for us or ever wonder about the reality of His promises to us. He wants us to rest assured that we can claim these and that He has claimed us for His very own. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. He says concerning Christ, in whom, in verse 13, Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. May I quickly say that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The way that someone becomes a Christian is by hearing what the Bible says. And this is what has happened here at Ephesus, is that they heard the word of truth and they trusted in the word of truth. It says in verse 13, in whom also after that ye believe, notice this, after they believe, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Here we see that God says, you heard the word, you received Christ, and after you made this decision, you were sealed. That is the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. That is the security of knowing that my salvation is not sealed by the church. My salvation is not sealed by some form of school or classes that I take, but salvation is sealed by the third person of the Godhead. It is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I love that verse 14, which says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Have you ever put earnest money down on something? Have you ever said, here's $100, I'll buy that car and I'll be back tomorrow with the rest of the money. Or here's $5,000 put down, it's our earnest money on the house, and we give you our word that we will make the payments and we'll pay the rest. It's the earnest money. And God says the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. That is, He says, I want you to know until I come back again to take you home, I want you to know that you are mine and I am yours and the Holy Spirit is my seal. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will love and comfort you. He will direct you. And you don't ever have to wonder who you belong to now, for you now belong to Jesus Christ and you are secure in that relationship. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Our security is found in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I might say also, we are secured not only by the Holy Spirit, but we are secured by the Word of God. You know, when you have those days where you wonder, you know, life's tough and where's the Lord at? And or maybe you have failed God and you have not been all that a Christian should be. I want you to know something. Salvation is wholly of the grace of God. And the Bible says in John 10, 28, Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life. By the way, Jesus gives eternal life. A church does not give it. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Listen, and they shall never perish. Listen, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, Jesus says, I want you to know my Spirit is going to seal you, and I personally am going to guarantee your salvation because you have put your faith in me. Tonight, as we consider these gifts, these gifts that never change, as we take a moment tonight and remember to enjoy those gifts that we already have, I hope you can enjoy tonight the gift of salvation. I hope you can enjoy the gift of security, knowing that you are secure in the love of God, Ephesians 1:7. You are accepted in the Beloved, and when someone in this world rejects you, that you know you are always loved, you are always accepted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The gift of salvation, the gift of security. And I want to say finally tonight, the gift of supply. Because our God, back to James 1:17, supplies good gifts for us over and over and over again. Does He not? The gift of supply. Do you believe tonight that every good and perfect gift is from God? I do. I believe these little children are from God.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Our series is entitled Worshiping the Christ of Christmas. We're turning our hearts to this holiday season and to what it's really all about, the presence of God Almighty and His blessed gift of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Pastor Chappell has just released a new book. It's entitled Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. This is a beautiful mini book of encouraging thoughts from Scripture about the story of Christmas. This book would make a wonderful addition to your coffee table through the season and an encouragement to you and your family. It would also make a wonderful gift to someone that you love and that you want to share Christ with this Christmas. Once again, it's Dr. Chappell's new hardback book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the Significance of the Season. It's available when you call or write to us or when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also place an order for this book when you call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. And we would love to hear from you by mail. You can send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. This Christmas season, you'll want to visit our online bookstore and find a treasury of resources that will encourage you and those you love. And don't forget Dr. Chappell's new book, Christmas is a Gift, a beautiful four-color hardback book. It's a gift size, 136 pages, mini hardback, and you will be encouraged by the message of this book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the Significance of the Season. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.